All right, so welcome back. This is our brand new minisode number one-ish, because I guess we're going to reboot the minisodes too.
Yeah, sounds.
I didn't reboot the Wile E. Coyote stuff and all the other stuff.
You didn't?
No, I just kept it going with the same number.
Okay.
They're reboot proof.
Interesting. All right, but minisodes and episodes.
Minisodes,
yes.
Yeah, getting
rebooted. Minisode number one.
So everybody here has something to review. Who would like to start?
Anyway. I'm gonna start.
What? All right, awesome.
Lou starting
the lead.
Alternate universe. Alternate universe.
This actually isn't a review.
I'm ready to learn.
This is not a review. This is I'm returning Leander's book.
Yes, thank you.
I'm returning Mighty Avengers number 11, the original Sin tie-in.
What did you
think?
That
he reviewed a few weeks ago.
In the old 52.
In the old 52. So this is sort of like a kernel of, you know, alternate history.
Yes, it is.
Flying in through the ages.
Quite literally.
So, yeah, I'm not going to review it because we already reviewed it. But I'm going to say that I enjoyed every racist minute of this wonderful book.
Yes.
It had kung fu fighting and afros and everything that I love.
All right.
Didn't everybody have an afro back then? I'm confused.
I love it.
No, it's really good. Hold on. Go back to this page right here. This page outlines a karate fight between some like B-list villain and the old school Blade, and they're both.
That's a great panel.
It is. They're both wearing bell bottoms and just like kicking. It's all kicks. There's like 14 different drawings of them jump kicking and just kicking. And there's three punches, and it's just. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It's really good.
I'm glad you gave it back to me finally after 3 weeks. All right, so that's really good.
I'm backlogged, man.
You sure they're not just doing the Jane Fonda workout?
They might be. It's good. And the story was decent. It's like, you know, Luke Cage's dad was like, I used to be a superhero too, let me tell you. And then it's like basically like a 70s, like, you know, pulp crime story.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.
Well, good. I'm glad you read it, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah. Thanks for returning
my
stuff.
Maybe I'll pick up number 12.
Yeah.
And I hadn't been caught up on Original Sin when you lent it to me, too. So now that I'm almost caught up, I read the tie-in, and it made a little more sense.
Okay, good.
That's part of my excuse, we'll call it.
Yeah. Right.
Explanation.
The explanation.
You don't have to explain shit to him. Fuck you, Leander.
I'm not going to go out and say that. I mean,
I'm the
about this. Yeah, the hunch can say it, but like, you're in the right. I borrowed your book. So I will abstain from cursing you out.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
On this podcast? All right, so.
I'll curse him out for something else later.
What do you got? Two things? I got two things. You're going first. Go
ahead. All right. Yeah,
he's going second.
Well, you didn't review, so therefore you called it not a review.
It was a return.
Just go second. just go second.
Yeah, fuck you, man. Just go second.
Don't be a dick.
I'm gonna solve up.
All sort of comments for that. All right, so...
I know, that's why I said it. I was hoping to get some of those comments.
Uncanny X-Men, number 23.
Mm-hmm.
The last will and testament of one Professor Charles Xavier. It was pretty cool, actually. This I haven't really been excited about Uncanny X-Men. It's still coming into my bin, and I've been like, whatever. And this one is slightly on the upswing, but it still isn't great, but it's good.
Original Sin tie-in?
It's an Original Sin tie-in, but you don't really know what that means yet. It doesn't really... Except for something must have happened with Professor X, I guess, and which is why it's part of his last will and testament. So basically... The part I liked about it the most is I didn't even understand why She-Hulk was in this episode. I call it episode sometimes. Instead of issues. But she's in her office, and it was actually pretty funny because she was talking to a client, and then there was a pop-up on her computer. She's like, hold on a second. She looks at it, and it shows the She-Hulk and the Hercules, and it says, Walk of Shame by the She-Hulk. As she's, like, on blast for, like, having sex with Hercules and then leaving her in his house first thing in the morning. Anyways, then she gets a letter and she signs for it and she opens the package and she's like, oh my gosh. And even then, I'm still like, what just happened there? Why is the She-Hulk part of this? And I didn't get it, even with the cover. Anyways.
Because I'm pretty sure I got it.
You get it now because I'm explaining it to you. So I'm saying it sounds simple that way.
She-Hulk book is really good, by the way.
Yeah, I haven't read it as much. Anyways, she comes jumping onto the school grounds, you know, blasting everything away with her feet because she jumped, like, you know, 5 miles. Meanwhile, she's like, oh, I have the last will and testament of Professor Charles Xavier. And there's some really cool comments she makes in there. Like, she's like, all right, first thing first, X-Men. Is he really dead? Or is he, like, mutant dead? Because you guys don't tend to die appropriately. So, it was actually pretty funny. Now, understand that she went to Jean Grey School, which is where Storm is leading the X-Men. This is Uncanny X-Men. This is all about Scott Summers and his rogue X-Men, who are no longer part of the regular X-Men. And so the reason that she went there is obviously that's where the school was, so she had to. But she's like, all right, we need to read this will. Well, Professor Xavier said that everyone had to be here, and that includes Scott Summers. So now Scott Summers has to go to the school and be part of the reading for the last will and testament. Mm. And the craziest thing, and this is my prediction, is that Scott Summers doesn't get ownership of the school. Like, that'd Professor Xavier is going to say, oh, yeah, Scott Summers, like my son, I've always wanted him to have ownership of the school. So now this rogue X-Men team that's always been, like, you know, hiding out in the middle of the woods now potentially might own the school, which would be pretty awesome.
Kick everyone out.
Yeah, kick everyone out. Go Bendis. But yeah, there's a lot of great panels. Oh, the last thing in here that also makes this worth looking at is that we're going to get a new Dazzler personality.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, she's still herself. But through Uncanny X-Men, the last couple of issues, basically, she got kidnapped by Mystique. She was basically being drawn for blood every single day and was being knocked out. So they used Dazzler, basically her body, as the catalyst for creating mutant growth hormones. So all of the mutant growth hormones that have been going around in Madripoor and a couple other places were all based off of Dazzler's body. They used her mutant genes and genetic material. So she's pissed off.
I thought you were going to say the Phoenix is going to occupy her body.
No. So she's pissed off. She's looking in the mirror. She's, like, looking at her past life as, like, the Dazzler pop star, as a Dazzler shield of, or agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is what Mystique took over her as. Mm-hmm. And you see her with a pair of scissors next to herself, and she's looking through the mirror, through her hair, and she's like, something's got to change. So she's about to get crazy.
Sweet.
Yeah, and there is an issue with her, because everyone knows her as a blonde-haired Dazzler, beautiful and whatever, where she looks fucked up. Like, she's basically spiky black hair and not the same Dazzler that you used to.
Nice.
Yeah, so I think it's at least worth looking at, because there's some stuff, something's definitely going to come out of this book, based on what was brought up.
I like the Dazzler as a character. I always thought they could have made her a bigger character, a more powerful character.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just, most people just think when she came out, she had the roller skates on, like the disco vibe
right.
of the 70s.
And I think surprisingly with everything I just told you guys, it almost seems very schizophrenic, but they actually did a good job. Whoever the writer is.
It's Bendis.
Yeah, did a good job of bringing it all together and not making it seem schizophrenic.
Good old Bendis. You want to go next?
Well, no, I went first, so it's your turn.
Right, I forgot. All right, so
Leander was second.
And you're third.
Right. Returning a book is a review. I'm going to review the return of the book. Good job.
I got time. My time was on the floor, and now I pass it to Leander. It's we're going it's clockwise.
Is that what this is?
Wait. Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. Yeah.
If yes. you're to Leander's left, that's clockwise. Right? I mean, I haven't seen an analog clock in a few years, but I'm pretty sure it's
in a few
still...
years? Where have you been?
Oh, man. Well, I look at my cell phone when I want to know what time
Jesus.
It is. Or the computer screen. Or
these
the oven.
Damn kids. What's wrong with America? Went to the southern voice again. All right, so my book. I picked this
Hold
because...
Hold on, no, I have. I'm looking at your watch. You've got an analog watch with Roman numerals.
That's right.
Who are you?
Who does that?
King of
fucking
France?
Fred Flintstone.
Yeah.
I am the king of France, motherfucker. I bought you a croissant this morning, didn't I? Croissant.
You did. You know what? I'm sorry. I'm going to lay off. Tim bought me a coffee and a croissant and a banana.
My favorite part about it is...
And then I refused to take the money for the first two times I tried to pay him.
You're still
going to
get the money back.
I'm not getting the money back.
I'll take the money.
No, you're not getting the fucking money, Leander.
Hey, he spilled half that coffee on his crotch, okay?
For you.
What? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hope you're happy. Like, Leander, you don't have to pour it on your crotch.
I didn't realize it was a targeted crotch spill.
Apparently. Anywho.
I did also say that you were closer to being Gambit with your croissant.
Oh, yeah. another step on my path towards being Gambit.
Yep.
Halloween's coming, man.
It'll be awesome. You get up on that trench coat.
All right.
In the most recent X Factor, he was running around more than half of the issue with just his trench coat and completely naked.
That's a good costume for you for coming Halloween.
I feel like that could be interpreted in a different way. Sure. Like if you take it out of context.
Sure.
Yeah, I got some candy for you, kids. Bam! No, I swear, officer, I'm Gambit. Haven't you seen the Wolverine?
I'm irresistible to women.
Those were kids, though.
All right, yeah, all right. You got me.
Happy Halloween.
It's a trick, not a treat. So I picked Original Sin number 0, because I feel like a lot of people got into Original Sin late and probably didn't pick up the 0 issue.
Yeah, they got into it late, you know, issue 1 instead of 0.
Well, we've been telling people since, like, 1 or 2.
Yeah.
It is very good. This is written by Mark Waid, who is probably my favorite writer of all time. Mm-hmm. I love Mark Waid. But for me, to pick up a 0 issue, I gotta really love the fucking event. Like, for example, one of my Marvel books is Daredevil. I have not picked up any of the point issues just because fuck point issues. I hate point issues.
Amen.
I hate all of that shit. Mm-hmm. Unless it actually adds, like, the Original Sin point issues, it's like, all right, that's the Iron Man story.
Or right.
The 5.1 through whatever, that's the Thor. That's fine. I'm fine with that. You could just call it a miniseries, but whatever. This, and the same thing with 0 issues, which is more like what DC does. This issue is very good. It is only 2 characters mainly in it. Nova and the Watcher. And this is clearly before he gets shot. Nova, it's focusing on him, and I don't know a ton about the new Nova, because I really like the old Nova, the Richard Rider Nova. So, basically, he's like, it's all his inner monologue, and trying to find his father is like the driving force for this new Nova. He ends up he fights this monster that he finds out is a robot. He kills it, kind of thing. The Avengers show up late. And they're like, I guess you got it. Good job, kid. And he's all, like, geeking out, like, yeah, fuck yeah. Fucking Iron Man and Captain America. They're like, yeah, I'm awesome. So he's really enjoying that. And he's like, I really expected the Watcher to show up. He goes, he kind of shows up for bigger events, kid. And they're like, what? And he just starts asking them questions, like, why doesn't he talk? Why does he only show up then? Why this? Why that? And they just kind of look at each other like, you know what? I never asked him. So the story is Nova flying to the moon. He's greeted by the Watcher, who knew he was coming, kind of thing. And he just starts asking the Watcher questions. And the Watcher doesn't answer him because he doesn't talk. He has a vow of silence, kind of thing. So he even brings him a gift. He brings him a piece of rubble from... I think it was from Infinity or something, from some other event. He's like, here, I don't know if you have trophies or anything. He goes, here's a piece of rubble from when the Avengers fought, like, Ultron or something. And he's like, here you go. And he gives it to him. He's just like, whatever, kid, you're weird. So he invites Nova in, and he goes to this room that kind of shows him pretty much the origin of the Watcher. So the origin of the Watcher is finally explained. And it's basically there were other people like him, and they intervened once. They gave this alien race all the to make a utopia, all the technology they needed, and they left to go throughout the universe and make perfect utopias. They come back, pass by the planet, check it out. They've killed each other. Nuclear war, they destroyed the entire planet. And they're like, never again. We will never interfere, but we will always watch. We will always make sure that everything is documented correctly so people know what happened. He goes, we will never, ever interfere. So, and Nova keeps seeing all these different alternate universes and alternate things, and one constant thing is, and he seems like really sad, the Watcher, and every single one of these universes, no matter what, the Watcher still, nothing changes with him. No matter what, he fucked up, him and his people, helping this, and he's like, that can never change. Hmm. He's still wrong, there's never a universe where good things happen because of it. So he's like, no matter what, he's like, I'm wrong, I'm the Watcher, blah, 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 this is it, this is what I do. And one of the best moments in this is
he's like, I know you can't talk, but maybe you could, like, blink your eye twice or something, or let me know if my father's still alive, because it's, like, the whole driving force. And he's, like, kind of sad. And he goes to leave, and the Watcher actually talks to him, which he's not supposed to do, and he's like, he's alive. Wow. And he's like, oh, shit. And he gets, like, real happy and flies off. And the Watcher takes the rock that he gave him, and he puts it up and on a shelf kind of thing. Because one thing Nova said is like, what, no fucking pictures, no nothing, not a poster, nothing going on here? So it was a great issue explaining the Watcher, making you give a shit about the Watcher just enough for this storyline. If you have Original Sin and you haven't read this issue, you need to get this issue. It's very good. It made me give a shit about Nova a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I know the Richard Rider Nova, I believe, is coming back in Guardians. So I do want to check that out, but that is my review of Original Sin Zero.
Interesting.
It was a really good book. I was happy. But it's Mark Waid, so I knew it would be good. Because I love Mark Waid.
Exciting.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
What you got, Lou?
All right.
What you got, Lou?
Lou's first review, going first, number one.
Number one. The new number one.
New number
the
one.
The all-new review by Lou.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
So how was that?
Southern Bastards, number three. I liked it. It's cool because the main character, I don't know his name.
The son of Walking Tall.
Hold on. I'm going to find his name because I feel like
you should probably
it'll make me
name.
Sound a lot more. It'll make me sound like I read it, which I did. I just forgot the guy's name.
I forget
the
guy's name,
they don't say
too.
His name a lot. Earl?
Earl.
Yeah.
Earl something.
It's got Earl it's Tubb. Funny. Oh, it's Earl Tubb.
Earl Tubb.
How did I forget that? Yeah, so in this one, he starts kicking ass.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's kind of what you've been waiting for like, two issues. And, like, you know he's eventually going to kick ass. Mm-hmm. He comes to this, you know, town that's run by this evil football coach?
Yeah.
Because
it's the South. And the coaches can run the whole world.
Yeah, so the evil football coach is like, you know, runs all the punks in town. And
pretty much, yeah.
So, yeah, so, but he's, this is where he starts getting revenge for the guy that that got murdered in the, basically, issues one and two.
Right.
And he just comes into a restaurant with the big stick, you know, that's kind of like the hallmark of his father. And he just starts, you know, kicking ass and taking names. And that's what you've been waiting to see. So the build-up led to something. And it's still pretty cool. Like, this, it's not blowing me away, but it's a good read. And it's enjoyable. The main bad guy, though, like, it's kind of funny because the coach boss, who's the guy who's like running all the punks and thugs in town and is also the football coach, like really doesn't seem interested in anything else except football. Like,
right.
The thugs keep like coming in there and be like, boss, we got a problem. This guy broke into the restaurant and kicked our ass. And he's like, well, take care of it. I have to watch the replay from last night's game. Like, that's all. Like, yeah. He doesn't seem to give a shit about doing crime. Like, he's really just interested in football.
Right.
So I feel like, even that's building up. I feel like when something big enough to take his attention away from, like, winning the big game comes up, you're going to see why is this guy more than just, like, a douchebag. Why is he, like, an actual evil character who's, like, you know, running this whole town. So I'm kind of interested to see that. Also, another kind of little plot hook is Earl, the main character. He's always talking on the phone to someone, and you never know who it is. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so, and I didn't, it didn't really like make me think about it until this issue where it keeps happening. Like every issue, he's like on the phone talking to someone. He's like, I really like to hear back from you. He's always like talking about what he's doing. He's like, I'm getting dragged into this, you know, this old southern town, and I'm into their affairs. And now it's like I've dug myself into a hole, but you never know who he's talking to. And so I just started like kind of like thinking about it. I was like, was it ex-wife? Is he crazy? Is he talking to nobody? So I think a few things that we're going to see pretty soon is like what actually makes Coach Boss this fucking evil southern crime lord guy, and who's this guy been talking to? So I think they're going to drop a lot of cool things in the next few issues. But I'd like to see the ass kicking continue apace, because that's like when you buy a book that looks like this, you're like, shit's gonna go down, and that's why you pick it up. You know,
yep.
You don't want to see happiness and peace. You want to see gritty beatings.
I want Falling Down, the comic book.
Exactly, exactly. And that's I think that's where we're going with this.
Nice. I enjoyed the first two issues, so yeah. It's good to see.
And this too is Jason Aaron, just like
is he your favorite
scene.
Writer?
He's not my favorite, but I feel like
Thor as well.
I feel like he's really hitting his stride. Like I hadn't before this year. I really hadn't read a whole lot of stuff by him, but now I mean, Original Sin's amazing. Mm. This book's really good. I feel like this guy's really just hitting his peak, maybe. So
could be, yeah.
Check him out.
Awesome.
Nice. My number two.
Your number two. read us some Rat Queens.
The new number two.
The new number two. Yeah, so Rat Queens.
Wait, Leander reviewing Rat Queens.
I know. Crazy. Hold on a second. Wait till you get to my third one. You're going to be so surprised. So, Rat Queens, again, this was really good. Now, it just happened to be that I reviewed Rat Queens on last podcast, but that's only because Rat Queens was nowhere to be found, and so I didn't find that book until super late. And so now the new Rat Queens is out. So, Tim, you liked this one a lot.
I did.
I actually liked the one, I liked issue number 6 more than what this is now, issue number 7. I thought issue number 6 was way funnier, and I just enjoyed the comedy of the Rat Queens. This is like the build up to something, the bigger fight, and I'm not into those issues as much as I am.
You don't like setup.
Meat and potato kind of guy, and it's just easy it is. So, which is appropriate because I'm really shocked that they had some really cool stuff in here, though, nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
There's some funny scenes with the candy lady, which you'll have to just read it to figure it out.
The best.
There's a black penis, which I was actually very shocked about the perfection of art of the black penis. I was really shocked. Like, it was really a good rendition of, in general, penises.
At first I thought that was like a supervillain. Because I thought like the dude on the page was like the black penis.
The black penis.
Beware.
Which makes sense for the Rat Queens, actually. It actually kind of makes sense.
It's going to happen.
There's a cool character in here that she's really badass. And I really liked the fighting of this one scene where she's basically kicking ass, taking knees, but also getting punched in the face and getting knocked out. So I liked how she's that balance of a good fighter and can still get take a punch at the same time. Not just a punch. You got to freaking stab and cut and slice and everything, too.
She's fighting like 7 dudes or something.
Yeah, she did a really good job. And so, in general, there were a lot of funny... There were some funny moments, but I really think I liked issue number 6 more than number 7. But there is a Cthulhu-type monster coming, is all
yes,
I can tell you.
That is true. I really like the book. I don't know, do you read it more for the comedy or for the
comedy. Yeah,
see, I read
the
it
comedy
both.
And interactions.
I need it to have both.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this was your action-y issue, and it is set up, and it explains a lot of stuff. I feel like once the main fight happens, it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
The Candy Lady was the best part, though, easily. The Candy Lady is the best.
They did do their best attempt of making it comedy and set up. I just still, number 6 was so hilarious. Like, if they didn't make it so hilarious, number 6, then I would not have been so disappointed with number 7. They went too much on the comedy on number 6 that I couldn't stop laughing.
But it's still one of the greatest books that you pick up, right?
Yeah, it is, by far.
All right. Well, I agree. I love that book. So, you ready for it? You ready for it?
Number 3.
Oh, here it comes. Bam! Archie. Life with Archie, number 36. I had to pick it up. It's an important milestone in Archie fucking fandom. And I made sure I got the Fiona Staples variant cover. Because if I'm going to buy an Archie book, it has to have that saga tie-in for me. So, I didn't understand this book. Because this is the Archie gets shot and dies issue.
But this is like Ultimate Archie, right? Like,
right. That's what this is. So, this book apparently is normally. This book was 2 stories in one. Universe A, where he marries Veronica. Universe B, where he marries Betty. So it's 2 different timelines with a what-if kind of happens scenario. And if you buy this book, please read that explanation at the beginning, because you will be fucking lost otherwise. So the whole issue is mainly him jogging around, talking to people in his town, just like reminiscing. And what had apparently happened in previous issues is those universes, the Veronica and the Betty universes, came together because of some weird scientific plot, kind of plot device thing.
The fuck is happening with Archie?
Right. So basically, Well, there's things I really liked about this, to be honest with you. So the so there's no more, he's married to Veronica, he's married to Betty. He's married to one of them. You don't know which one it is. So the whole time he references his wife, he never says her name. When you see her, she's far away. She's like the green turtle. You never see her face. You never know who it is that he's actually married to. Because in the other universes, each respective girl is married to one of his best friends. Mm. So if he's got Veronica, that friend has Betty and vice versa. So like he'll be there and you don't know which one's married to him. So that's important to this issue. So you learn a lot about Riverdale. Like I don't know a ton about Archie. There's a character who had breast cancer. Like there's real world shit going on in this book that I was like, wow, good for you addressing this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The main plot is the senator is his friend, Kevin Keller, which is one of the first openly gay characters in Archie. He became senator, and somebody is threatening to shoot him, kind of thing, for being gay, or just his views on top of that, kind of thing. So, and they're having a party at the malt shop that Jughead works at. Like, I feel weird even talking about that. But they're having a party, and Archie's going there, and he's meeting his wife later. Like, you still don't know who the fuck he's actually married to now. And another thing, Kevin Keller is married to a black man. Like, I'm like, everything remotely you want to talk about, like, bam, it's all right there.
Everything that the creator of Archie would have spinning in his grave in this book.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So
you let who into the malt shop? God damn it!
So what ends up happening is one of the employees of the malt shop is this guy who has been threatening and murdering people kind of thing. He's the one who is the killer. He does go to shoot that character, and Archie jumps in the way and gets shot and dies on the floor with both Betty and Veronica over him crying, and you still don't know which one he's married to.
Of course.
So I enjoyed the book. I'm not a big Archie guy, like I said, but I was like, this is a very good story. It was told very well. Is it as big of a fucking deal as everybody made it out to be? Probably not, but I did like learning about this universe and seeing, like, yeah, woman had breast cancer. They tackled that. They tackled a lot of adult subjects in here, because this is the book where he's not a teenager anymore. Mm-hmm. He's grown up. That book is still around, you know, where he's a teenager at at the grocery store, at the checkout lane. Like, that shit's still going to be there. He's still alive in that. There will be more issues where it's like the aftermath, and I guess that's where you'll find out who he was married to.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, that's surprising. I mean, I wouldn't have thought that that's how an Archie book would be, but, you know, I guess they're branching out. Mm.
Yeah, no, good for them, too. They should. I mean, they've been around so long, and I don't know that they need the money or the numbers or whatever it is, but I feel like they're really stepping up their game, so.
Yeah. Attract new customers, for sure, with that book.
Mm-hmm. But Fiona Staples' cover is awesome.
But then, like, I'm sure it's a lot of buzz, like, oh, my God, Archie's going to die. So maybe, like, but then what do you do after that? Like, maybe you have a couple of really, like you said, if it's a well-told story, they can go and complete that story. But then once Archie's dead, like, do they have, like, a conduit for that good storytelling anymore with that? Or is that just like, well, we made a big buzz with killing him off, and then everyone saw, like, oh, wow, this title's got some substance to it. And then, like, Archie's dead, so that's it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, this universe, I'm assuming they'll do a few more issues. Maybe they'll just, would they keep going, or would they just close it out and hope everybody jumps on the regular Archie book? Because the regular Archie book wouldn't be the same. Right, exactly. Unless they do make it like that.
Unless they're trying to really sell the shit out of some Life with Archie trades.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're afterlife even make with trades? Archie.
Are there Archie trades? Is that it? Like, I know there's Double Digest, but
there is. Our store actually has the trade for the zombie book, the Afterlife with Archie, which that's been a big hit for them. Their zombie book.
No way.
Yeah, so
it's got to be stupid. It's stupid, right? It has to be stupid.
I read the first issue for the podcast, and it like all Archie, just like this. Like, once you get around the fact that, like, Sabrina the Teenage Witch is helping him do some occult black magic shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, once you get around how silly that sounds, if you didn't know these characters from other things, like, you'd be fine. Like, I'm not thinking Melissa Joan Hart is helping him. You know what I mean? But, like, if you can get by that, it's fine. Like, it was bloody, it was violent.
What?
Yeah, that Archie book, like, Jughead gets bit first because his dog gets brought back to life by Sabrina the Teenage Witch. And it's, like, how most people say, if zombies ever happened, it'd be like a rabies kind of thing, which is what they did.
Hmm.
So anyways, okay. Archie, not what you thought. Check it out. This is not that big of a deal like everybody made it out to be, but it was still a good book. And yeah. if you're going to read a couple Archie books, like this is the universe to check out. Maybe check out some back issues of that.
Nice.
Do it.
All right, I'll go first.
the new number one.
Okay, this is a couple weeks old. Yes. This is East of West 13. Yes. So I'm not even going to talk specifically about this one that much, just in East of West in general.
Sure.
But I'll start off. 13, like every issue of East of West, was fucking great.
Yep.
And I have no idea what's happening. Like, that's just what I want to say about this as a whole, is that I read it as... Usually I'll save up several issues of a book I read and kind of, like, hit a whole arc or something like that. This, I read as soon as it comes out.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And therefore cannot remember who any of the 65 characters are. Like,
right.
And then I'm like, oh, it's that guy. And I vaguely have a recollection from late last year seeing that guy before, and now he's doing something else. And I was like, hell yeah, he's such a badass. What's his deal? I don't know. But in this issue, it's like basically, like, I don't know. I can't tell you what happens. like there's a sniper, like they were yep. fighting some sort of like Death and his pals were like fighting a thing from the underworld and
right.
who could give them some information that I can't for the life of me tell you why it's relevant. Like if you held a gun to my head, I couldn't tell you why they were fighting the guy.
It was one of his companion's dads.
Yeah, yeah, it was the guy's dad, but he turned into, like, a thing that wasn't his dad.
Shaman-y, Indian.
Because,
like, he's, like, an Indian kind of guy.
Yeah,
but
and
you don't know much about, like, this history's version of Indians and, like, the powers and abilities.
You
and
do know, okay, you do know they're,
you
like...
You know a little, but...
They're, like, called the Endless Nation, mm-hmm. and they're technologically the most advanced one of the races of the post-apocalyptic
so, yes.
world. But they also have this, you know, connection to ancient magic, which manifests itself in amazing splash panels and
yes, it does,
and great art, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this one's a showdown between some character who was introduced in another book, and Death, and
it was pretty good.
It really was, and
you thought it would be one sided, and it really wasn't.
No, it wasn't one sided. But overall, yeah, I gotta say this book is. For something of which I could not possibly explain to you the plot of.
Right.
Like, if someone was like, what's it about? I would be like, well, sir, it's about life in a post-apocalyptic world in which awesome dudes have great character interaction. And it's like, and everyone has a backstory, and everyone is introduced in an issue, and yeah, I can't remember any of it. But
this is the kind of book that when it's completed its run, when it's 100% done, if you read it from beginning to end in trade form, you would think it was one of the greatest things you probably ever read.
Right.
It's, as long as he doesn't fuck up the ending, like I feel like it's going to be like a Preacher or like a Why the Last Man. Like, it is worth reading cover to cover.
Yeah.
It is confusing. It is about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Three of them, they get reborn as children every so often, every X amount of years. And Death does not get reborn with him. He's got his own shit to take care of. So the other three want to, like, find him and kill him. Death's trying to find his son. There's political agendas that the other three are actually secretly controlling. And that's where you get really confused, because they make everybody somewhat important. All
yes.
these political people.
Yes, there's... And there's, like, five or six different nations, and each of them have leaders which are fully developed characters, which
mm-hmm.
pretty much get their own book. Which is why, exactly, like, this is the type of thing where, like, I really feel like I need to go back to number one and read from 1 to 13 just
yeah.
all in a row, because...
Well, shit hit the fan last issue as far as all these... Because the horsemen want to start war, world war kind of shit, because they're the fucking horsemen. They want
right.
the world to blow up kind of thing. And they pretty much started it down that road, I guess,
yeah.
with that last issue, but... So much is going on, you're right. You just don't know what is actually...
And the other thing is there's a difference between the people who've heard, like, the message, which is, like, the kind of, like, prophetic catalyst for everything that's happening.
Hmm.
And it's always hard to keep track because it's almost like a cult. And half the characters are in this cult that's listening to the message, which is, like, they're trying to bring about the end of the world. And the other half is not, but... they're very disorganized, so it's hard to remember from issue to issue, like, wait, who's, are these people in the gang, or are they against the gang, and who's been co-opted, and who's working together, and, oh, it's, and if it wasn't so well written, you'd be like, what is this?
Right.
Like, this is just haphazard stuff, but because everyone is developed.
I love this book.
Everyone is developed, everybody has great scenes, but it's just like, you might not see a character for six issues, and then they come back, and you're like, oh, wait, that's the guy who, oh, yeah, he did that thing 6 issues ago, so. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, artwork amazing, writing amazing, character development, all that stuff, and I think you're right.
When it's
all said and done, I just want to hit this thing from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. And
it hits so many genres. It's half Star Wars, half Western. Like, it's like, yeah, it's weird.
It's weird. It's almost
like the only other thing that had that I ever think of. I always compare it to like Trigun. Like that was like steampunky, futuristic, but right. It was a Western ultimately. Like I compare it to that in that respect.
Yeah. So interactions were good between the characters, but like, is there? So the only group of characters that seem to be the focus are the horsemen.
Not even. I would say like. If you could pick out one main character, it would be the Death character, and he has two companions, like Native American type characters. But even him, he doesn't. I wouldn't say he grabs majority of the mm-hmm. book. I would say if there's one character they focus on, it's him more than the others. But
sure.
It's not following him. Like right. It follows a little bit of everybody, and.
Yeah, there's whole issues where you don't see Death. You like the three horsemen are trying to get this one politician to like murder all these people. Like they killed from president down to this lady.
They kept
to
killing,
try to get somebody who would do what they wanted.
Yeah,
and
she's like,
yeah, I'll do it.
They kept offing politicians like, until they were like, this is the one. We can play ball with you. But there was a whole like half an issue where it was just like bodies were dropping until they got someone who would play ball,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty badass.
That's interesting.
It's a very good book.
Hmm. All right, I'll pick it up when it's all done.
Yep, that's the way to do it, I think. If you're not going to do it now.
Yeah, not going to do it now, but I will wait for it to be all done. And read it more like a book, mm-hmm. not a comic.
But, I mean, I feel like, I still feel like we're in exposition. Like, I feel like this is going to be a 60-issue series or something.
I hope it
this
is. Mm-hmm. I think some of the best ones are. It's like, I'm going to write from here to here, however many issues it takes, and I'm done.
Yeah,
because
I feel like
the appeal of Image, really.
Because we're up to last issue, we're still meeting new people,
right.
You know?
Like, right. I can hold out. I can wait.
Yeah.
I can wait.
Yeah, I think it'll pay off to read it all in one go.
Mm-hmm.
But for those of us who are already in the trenches here,
we're just gonna keep doing it, man.
Out the notebook and get the cliff notes because
need a pie chart.
Yeah,
we're
gonna be like a crazy guy in his room with like a map and like pieces of yarn and stuff, like connecting. It would be like an FBI chart. Like here's Death at the top. Who's this guy?
Tie in.
It's like a full time hobby,
get some
man.
Strings and
yeah, exactly.
It's probably what Hickman's work area looks
like. It probably is. He probably can't. He's probably booby trapped it too. The guy's probably nuts.
He probably is.
It's awesome.
All right, Leander, take us home.
All right, last one for me. Surprise, shocker, shocker. X-Men.
Mm-hmm. X-Men.
that was really good, actually.
Yeah, saving the day.
Yeah, that was really good impression of some
cartoon.
Things.
Some cartoon.
The cartoon that never made it.
Two episodes.
Didn't even get 2 episodes.
Oh, was that
combined
the
Kitty
Pride?
Was that the late 80s X-Men?
Uh-huh.
Like Magneto's on the train?
Yes. Yeah,
yep.
That's the one.
They kill Nightcrawler, but not really.
Oh, I did see that.
He's in the locker. He teleported Pimp. Go ahead.
All right, so X-Men. So this is the one where I was super excited about it, and then the artist changed, and I was super upset about it.
Yep,
the all-woman X-Men team. Now, Brian Woods brought it back around, and he's like the roller coaster went straight down for a little bit, and I was freaking out, and now it's heading right back up again.
I told you, it's Wood, you're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine.
I know, I shouldn't be afraid of Wood. And so, I saw this issue, and I started reading through it, and basically, the villain could not even exist, actually. The Future is the name of the villain. And this is just be a good issue, period. Because they were really fighting the environment more than they were fighting a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And through these environmental fights, character development happens. And you really like the way that it progresses. The only thing I don't like about this X-Men is that they have Storm's daughter from the future in here, and I don't like that at all. I don't like the future thing. That doesn't really, for me, it doesn't jive with me to have Storm's daughter on the team, like nearby. It just it makes it weird to me. Anyways, the characters from Bromo Superior come out into this book as an like proving themselves as potential X-Men, which I thought that was really cool.
I really liked the payoff of that.
Yeah, that was a good... And I didn't actually see it coming. Mm-hmm. I thought that the issues, the mini-issues were done, and it was going to have no tie-in to anything. It was just something that happened on the side. And then they brought it in. Yep, yeah. They instantly brought it into the actual main book, which I thought was really cool. Jubilee has some weird makeup stuff going on right now. I'm not sure how I feel about it. And I don't know where she found time because she got kidnapped, but somehow she has makeup on and like eyeliner and like you can't see it as well there, but some other photos where you can see a little better. Like she's super like. When has she had time to put the makeup on?
So, it's just really sitting around doing nothing in a cell, man.
Not everyone's gonna notice that.
I will.
But, I mean, I thanks will. For
that's Jubilee. You don't mess with her like that.
He studies the Jubilee of every
don't
book.
Mess with Jubilee by putting makeup on her in a situation where it would clearly have
she
been
sparklies
improbable that she would have had time.
Not anymore. She's a vampire. She can only do sparklies.
Black eye. They're black eyes.
Sure. But anyways, no. They did a really good job with this. They brought it back. I'm really excited. I'm glad I stuck with it, you know, for Jubilee, but also because now the story is getting better again. It was already great. There was just one issue of failure, and now they're on the way back up.
It wasn't
again.
Like a huge failure.
To me, it was a huge failure.
I don't think it was a huge failure.
It was
a huge
failure to me.
It was a step back, no doubt, but I don't think it was. And Brian Wood, I've told you, Brian Wood's going to be good. And then Brian Wood is going to get Moon Knight. I'm excited for that. Once Warren Ellis is done, it goes to Brian Wood. I'm like, it's fantastic.
So we're one step closer to the Jubilee
Moon Knight crossover that we want.
Yes.
It's going to happen.
So, anyways, for those of you that decided to keep up with the X-Men because of Jubilee and other great things, it has paid off. It is now continuing to be a good book for you.
Yep. Well, that is it. Good job, gents.
Thanks, man.
You got it. Anything you want to add before we cut this?
Yeah, I'll go ahead here.
Go ahead. Take the floor.
Okay. So you're just going to have to lower my volume. Don't put the mic closer to me. You're just making more work for yourself.
Sure, sure.
All right. I got a smartphone this week. I've never had one before. So right now my biggest challenge is wondering how many Snapchats I can take of really awkward comic book store customers without getting noticed, because it's a big temptation to just see like a dude and be like, I got to show people this guy. Uh-huh. The world has to see this guy. But I can't. You can't just do that. You can't work in a store. Yeah.
You can't work there. I can do it.
You could do it.
You just can't do it because you work there.
I can't do it.
Yeah. It would be weird. Cause
the temptation well, you know what you just volunteered now. Yourself for, right?
To take pictures of men in a public place.
Same thing Lou volunteered for when he was in the bathroom with that one writer.
Well, yeah, so I gotta keep it.
So how do you feel about the technology at your fingertips now? You're now on the internet. Whenever you want to be on the internet, you can join.
I haven't really done any of that. I've
I know,
just been taking pictures of weird dudes.
That's because
I'm sending them to my friends. Like, this guy looked like a scoutmaster, but like 20 years too early. I'm like, I gotta snap this guy.
20 years too early.
It was like he was really going to get like the wide brim hat and the really tight jeans, like hiked all the way up, and like the camp counselor t-shirt.
Let's hit the trails, kids.
And he was looking through magic cards, and I was like, is that someone's mom? Or is that... Oh, no, it's a 20-year-old kid.
That's too funny.
Oh, that's sad.
It is kind of... You get some fucking characters.
You do. Like, that's part of the appeal of... Once you get past the how annoying it is, the part of the appeal working at a store is you definitely see some people that you would not otherwise see.
Some of them I just can't stand, and I see them, like, walking. Like, if I'm unfortunate enough to see them walking, I'm like, fuck.
My whole day like, ruined. Is looking out the window, like, no, they're coming this way.
That literally happened the other day. I was talking to Al near the door, and I'm just like, oh, fuck, fuck, no, fuck. Can we close? What can we? He's like, no, it's like the middle of the day. We can't close.
Schuster's not that bad.
No, him we actually did lock out, so...
Yeah, although I will say this whole work in the comic store, there's one thing I don't like, appreciate, is there's a higher likelihood that I'm going to run into someone who forgot to shower that day. There's a higher likelihood in a comic book store than any other place, and I don't understand the hygiene situation.
Well, no, I mean, a comic convention.
Yeah, it's
equally likely.
I've never been, so
it's
I guess.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Leanna's told us we've been to a convention. We have to take him to a convention because if you think the smell in the comic book store is bad, wait till you. wait till you get to the vendor room on a Saturday afternoon.
I'm just gonna inhale, just walk in and go.
Like, just did nice World War II cosplay. Like, no, this is a gas mask because I need it.
I had just did a show for the store at Allentown, and I met the Yellow Power Ranger.
And the almost you met who?
I saw an awesome Jubilee cosplay.
I'm so pissed.
Didn't come near me to like flag her down and take a picture or anything.
So mad at you.
That's a problem of working the table.
You can't do shit. And then like the Red Power Ranger was there. I'm like, wow. If I was only a bigger fan of Power Rangers, but like I talked to the Yellow one, like she was awesome. I'm like,
Did you call her the yellow one because she was Asian? What do you say?
She's actually the black one. She's like the third or fourth.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. I don't know my Power Rangers like that. But like, I love meeting these like sometimes famous, sometimes quasi famous people, and just being like, "Hey, man, how are you?" Like normal as fuck. They love that shit.
Yeah,
love it.
That's awesome. Well,
excited. There was one guy. Brian J. L. Glass, he was across from me the whole time. He has a book called Furious, which I read and I liked. And I just didn't say shit to him the whole time. I couldn't. And then at the other show, I'm like, "Hey, man, I really liked your book." And it, like, blew his mind away. He's like, "What?" I'm like, "Yeah, dude, I read your book. It was good." So, you know, that's a thing.
Yeah. I'm excited. I want to do a con, and I definitely want, if at some point in time, I would love to do a podcast at a con. Because what I'll do is, because I don't care about people, I don't care about writers or artists, I'm just going to go to...
He said he loved you at the end of the last podcast.
But now he doesn't care about
you. I'm just going to randomly, like, see people, and people are going to be around them, and I'm like, "Oh, hey, we're doing a podcast, can you come over?" And they'll be like, Tim will be like, "Why did you get Stan Lee?" I'm like, "Oh, this is Stan Lee? I didn't know. He's just some dude who just I thought I would talk to."
Wait, Stanley's still alive, right?
Stanley has handlers. You'll never get Stanley. Wandering around, you could lure him to your table.
You'd be solid.
You lure Stanley.
Yes, my trap.
He's like a supervillain. You'd really appreciate it. The con lurer.
I'm excited. I'm waiting for my first con, but it won't be anytime soon. So
it'll be soon. You pick one. We'll go.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Well, good.
And we can Snapchat people from there without fear of repercussions.
It'll be under Capes and Scowls, so it'll be okay.
That's right. Send us your pictures to our P.O. box.
Yeah, save us the trouble. Just take a picture of your awkward self and send it over.
No, we don't have to smell you. It's perfect.
And put it on our Facebook.
All right, well, thank you for listening again. And again, Facebook and iTunes will be... maybe fixed by now, maybe not, but iTunes, our old stuff's still up there at least. And CapesandScowlsPodcast.com. Thanks for listening.
Later.
Leander loves you.